Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Good evening. It is a cold night here in Lansing. We're getting down into the 20s. I'm Michael Cohen on the board and on the mic. Thank you very much for joining me. On today's show, a new report finds that Michigan is not going to see its pre-recession job numbers until at least 2017, and that will be one of the last states to fully recover. I'll talk to an economist with IHS Global Insight to find out why there's such a long road ahead. And as we get ready to pack on the pounds at next week's Thanksgiving dinner, what about losing that weight? Is diet and exercise really the answer? I'll talk to a doctor who's a hypnotherapist about the real reason why it's so hard to stay at a healthy weight. But first, while it may seem like another Thursday to you, for the Occupy movement, today is the Global Day of Action, as Occupy gatherings across the country mark the two-month anniversary of the start of the movement in a Manhattan park. To talk about how far the effort has come and what's ahead, I'm joined by Lee Gaddis. He's the media coordinator for Occupy Detroit. Welcome to the program, Lee.
Thank you for having me.
So let's begin with the news today. About 175 Occupy Wall Street protesters arrested in New York. Seven New York police officers have been injured. These kinds of developments and the general change in the police attitude towards these Occupy movements, is this a sign that the movement is now changed into something a bit different?
No, I think the movement hasn't changed. I think what's being exposed is the militarization of our police department. I think the particular, the brutality of the police towards the Occupy Wall Streeters, because the Occupy Wall Streeters are actually closest to the locus of power there in New York.
Now, let's talk about the movement itself. I mean, it's been 2 months now since it officially kicked off. There's certainly been a lot of media attention, but what would you say the Occupy Detroit and the larger movement has accomplished at this point?
Well, we've been able to change the dialogue away from national debt to wages. We've been able to focus the attention on the greed and corruption on Wall Street and in our government, that people are now looking at the inequity in the way that people have stolen their wealth on Wall Street. You know, and people want to say, well, this is class warfare, that we're against the rich. If we were against the rich, it would be called Occupy Silicon Valley. We're against people who have rigged the game, who have crashed our economy and are taking unfair advantage and are just ripping us off, and have done so for the last 30 years.
Well, you've certainly drawn attention to these things, but has it really led to any legislation or any change when it comes to the political reaction to some of these issues?
Well, again, this isn't a short-term fix. We're talking about long-term gain, right? We're talking about plans out to 2016 and beyond. The occupation is just a tactic, right? You know, just like we had Americans pull their money out of the banks and put them in the credit unions. You know, that was 600,000-700,000 people did that, you know. So, yes, that is effective. When you talk about changing the national dialogue, yes, that has been effective. When you talk about over the holiday season, people right now are talking about buying locally. Can they buy concert tickets? Can they buy theater tickets? Can they buy artwork from local craftsmen? Can we shop at our farmers market and not participate in the multinational corporate greed and raping of our economic system? So these are things that take place along with policy changes that we will be implementing.
You know, it's been difficult to determine really exactly what the ultimate goal of the Occupy movement really is. In terms of the real long-term objectives of these gatherings, is it to ultimately redistribute the wealth in the country a bit?
No, that's the way that you would like to frame it, but I know it's hard to get a man to understand something when his paycheck depends on him not understanding. But let me make it very simple for you. It's about fairness in our economic system, fairness in our justice system, and fairness in our social system. So hopefully that's simple enough for everybody to digest.
Well, I mean, is there anything innately fair about a capitalist economy?
Yeah, there is. But it depends on people being regulated, right? because with unregulation is what happens, you see what happens when it's unregulated. What we're talking about is crony capitalism. We're talking about monopolistic capitalism. You know, there's nothing wrong with capitalism in and of itself, but when people apply it in the way that it has been applied, when it becomes unregulated, when you have a game with no rules and people can just do what they want, greed and corruption seeps in. 99% of us play fair. You know, we get up, we go to work every day, we play by the rules, we pay our taxes. The 1% of us are the ones that we are talking about that have rigged the game, that don't pay taxes, and are taking a disproportionate share of the economy than the work that they put in to create it.
I'm talking to Lee Gaddis. He's the media coordinator for Occupy Detroit. Well, Lee, obviously the weather is turning here. We're getting down into the 20s tonight. How is this likely to affect the Occupy Detroit movement?
Well, as you know, we've planned for this. You know, this is not something that we didn't expect. We do live in Detroit. We do expect the four seasons out of the year, and we had planned to pack up and move indoors for our winter campaign anyway. So for us, you know, it's just a matter of an overwhelming support we've gotten from Detroiters and people in Southeast Michigan, a material support, and we don't want that support to go to waste. So we've moved it into our winter warehouse, and then recycling the things that that we can't move. So we've been blessed with so much support, but it's taken longer to move it out than we originally had anticipated. So we've asked the city for an extension of time to be able to move those materials, clean the park, because we made a promise to the city council and the citizens of Detroit that we would clean the park and leave it in a better condition than when we found it in. And so we're keeping our promises.
Well, in fact, some of the police action was basically based on sanitation conditions at some of these protest sites. I mean, is that in fact something that the Occupy movement needs to stay on top of to avoid, I guess, further police involvement?
Yeah, and also health. I mean, you want the occupiers, the people who participated in the occupation, to be healthy. And so we have a lot of young people who have come down. This is their first time, you know. But you got to realize, for every one person that is an occupier, there's 30 or 40 people that are supporters in the community. I don't expect my seniors who lived through the civil rights struggle to come out and camp out in a park, you know, at night, you know. But they provide other support, advice, counsel to us, and so there's people across all stratagems of the 99% that make up this this movement. And again, this is a movement, a political movement that we are involved in, and there are different phases to that movement, and now we're moving into the next phase. The occupation was just one tactic, you know, and we have other strategies that we are tactics that we are putting in place for the winter and long-term.
What will some of the, let's say, immediate strategies, these other tactics you're talking about, what are they likely going to be then?
Well, for example, we're protesting against austerity measures that are being put in place. Again, you know, one of our holiday strategy is to buy local, you know, to strengthen our own resources while weakening those that are preying on us, you know, with this predatory capitalistic system that we have, this crony capitalism system we have, this monopoly capitalistic system. If we can move away from that and start spending money in our own community, spending money with each other, that's a long-term viable tactic that we use, as well as marching and demonstrating. We'll still be doing that.
Finally, Lee, do you think the media has been fair in the way they've portrayed the Occupy movement? It certainly seems to be a very open-ended movement, so all kinds of people have been involved, maybe some that don't necessarily believe in some of the Occupy principles. Do you think that's affected how the public and the media has viewed the movement itself?
Well, I think that there's been a lot of deliberate confusion. I mean, our message has been simple, you know, from the beginning, but I think that the way that we've gone about it has dismayed some people that want to come in and buy people off, or, you know, the fact that this was a leaderless movement in the beginning because you didn't want people to be identified and picked off or jailed or bought off the way the Tea Party had been. But we are, you know, in the process of grooming new leaders to move into positions of power with character and integrity so that so that we can see the changes that we want in our society happen. Because, again, this is a long-term intergenerational strategy. As we are linked to the civil rights movement and other movements in the past, we're just the latest link in this chain. And, again, the 99% movement is still in its infancy, and it's growing, and it's evolving, and it's maturing. So, you know, look for a lot of really great things to come out of this in the future, and a lot of lasting things. And things that last don't happen overnight.
Lee Gaddis, media coordinator for Occupy Detroit. Lee, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.